Hello. This is the second chapter of the Toffee Man I've read here. So if you enjoy this chapter or wonder what it was all about, perhaps you'd like to listen to the website, to the recording on the website. But you probably have some information in front of you, but April is 10 and the story is told through her eyes, and she's irrepressibly optimistic despite the situation in her life, and I'll get on with it. This is chapter 9, Sunday School. Luke and John are shouting because Mum is doing their hands and faces round with a flannel. Mark and Matthew had to do it themselves, like me, and just stand still by the door until it's time to go. Mum's mouth is all sucked in. She's fed up. We all had a bath last night, but they've been out playing cars on the path. Mark made a garage with an apple crate, and then he got fed up and set light to it. He kicked it off the concrete and the grass caught fire, and now everyone smells of smoke, and we have to go to Sunday school in the next 10 minutes, or we might be late. When we walk down the lane, I hold their hands, which isn't easy. Matthew and Mark are kicking a stone all the way from outside our gate to the church, and now their shoes and socks are even more dirty. I just want them to walk nicely for the last bit. We can hear the insects, and the air is going in our clothes and making us smell nice. Everyone is waiting outside the church, talking like usual, waiting until the piano starts. It's funny, because you get to see all the grown-ups really smart. I think the toffee man must go to a different church, but the caravan lady is there in a blue dress. Miss Taysom is wearing big crosses in her ears, like she does every Sunday. She never speaks to people when she's not in the shop. She wears a crinkly black suit and looks down at her handbag, which she holds in front of her with both hands, like she is thinking about God a lot. I don't think she ever goes anywhere. Her shop is right next door to the church, but she doesn't even look in the window of it on Sundays. Everybody else is talking and smiling to each other. There are lots of old people that need help to get down the steps. Most of the kids have got coats on. We haven't. Mum says it's stupid to wear coats when it's not that cold, because we won't feel the benefit when it's winter. Anyway, I don't want to wear my anorak. The zip is stuck at the top, and it's come apart all the way down. The twins keep trying to pull away from me, but I'm not letting them go. They're stretching my arms apart, and I pull them back to meet me in the middle, and they do it again. It's making us all laugh. Matthew and Mark are being good and waiting, not like normal. But last week, Miss Fisher told them off and said that any children that didn't behave respectfully before, during, and after Sunday school would not be entitled to cake with their squash after prayers. They're making an effort, like she said. When the organ starts playing, everyone goes quiet and starts walking in. You can hear the birds and all the footsteps on the gravel. I like the smell of polish in the church. I like the flowers and how shiny and peaceful it is. And I like the window with Jesus in the garden and the label round his feet that says, "Suffer the little children." But there are some kids holding his hands in the garden and they look happy. Mum used to come to church with us until the doctor said she needed some peace and quiet on her own. The vicar said that was all right, and they would keep an eye on us. But I had to promise Miss Fisher that I would take responsibility. Mr. Fisher, her brother, is the vicar. He always asks us questions about our lessons at school. I don't know why, because he doesn't listen to what you say. He just nods and looks round at other people. But I keep saying what it was like anyway. When we're in church, all the kids have to sit at the front, and so we can leave quietly by the side door when prayers are finished. The Sunday school is through the door on the other side. When Mr. Fisher says, "Let us pray," I always look up at the window with Jesus. There are big red roses with green thorns painted on the glass, and bunches of flowers in pots on each side of the picture on little shelves, and some plants on the window that spill down the wall. It's like the picture is coming alive into the world. When Mr. Fisher does his talking today, he is telling us about how important it is to look after our families, and we must honour them, especially our mums and dads, because God chooses our families so that we can learn about love and patience, and sometimes that is hard work. He said, we can choose our friends to be like us. Toffee Man is my friend, but my mum doesn't like him. And what if your dad is not your real dad? Does God choose your not real dad? I could get refused to go into heaven. When we're in the Sunday school, we have the story of the Good Samaritan. It's a story about a man who is not afraid of the robbers when he sees someone different to him who has been hurt. He stops to help him and wipe the blood, and he gives him his clean clothes because he is a kind man. After the story, we had to do Living Bible Talk, which is like when the story is your life. Sally, who's in my class at school, said that she would do that if she was in the woods galloping with her horse and she saw a wounded man by a tree or something. And that was nice of her to say, because she really is shy at school. She doesn't talk to anyone, not just me. Miss Fisher said that you shouldn't stop and help strangers unless you were a grown-up. I said that sometimes people just got drunk and fell over, and that you should just let them sleep it off. Well, that's what my mum said, because that used to happen sometimes on the caravan site. She said there's no helping some people. Miss Fisher just looked at me and everybody was sniggering. Then Matthew said it was true as well, and that made everybody laugh. Miss Fisher stared up to heaven and said, well then, we had to pray for everyone who got drunk and God would help them get a better life. Well, I asked her why God didn't help the robbers learn a better life so they didn't beat up the man. She said it was God giving us a chance to prove our character, and he loved us all. Well, it's not fair for the man who was left to die so that the Good Samaritan could do a test for God. If some people might not care about passing the test. She said it was not up to us to question the ways of God. Everybody had to think about that quietly for a minute until we calmed down. We could hear the organ start playing the leaving music for the grown-ups in the church. Miss Fisher said it was time for our squash. I still got some cake, although Miss Fisher warned me about being difficult and to think about things before I said them. I do. The vicar came in and put his hands in the air and waited until everyone was quiet. He said to everyone a reminder about the church garden fete that he and his sister, Miss Fisher, were having at the vicarage. He said that they should think about any items that they could contribute that which would be appreciated. He gave us a list of all the stalls for our parents. They wanted volunteers for helping too. Don't think Mum could do that. But there was a telephone number to call if she could. I put it into my pocket for her. When we got outside, all the parents were waiting for their kids. Sally's mum was waiting by the wall, and Sally ran over with her list. And then her mum, Liz, said she had a box full of books in the boot. But they're all in a Blighton, and they probably wouldn't be the sort of thing that people would want to buy anymore. They were all originals. She doesn't know what to do with them. And then Mr. Fisher looked at me and said, you like these stories, don't you, April? And I feel a bit embarrassed, but I do. It is my favourite books. I've read lots of them already, and the Caravan Family. I didn't know what else to say. Luke and John were climbing on the wall, and I started to move towards them, and Liz kept speaking to me. Well, there are over 100 in the box. I'm sure there are lots that you haven't read. The complete sets of all the mystery books. Sally's read them all, haven't you, Sally? So we don't need them, and I'd love them to go to someone who'd appreciate them. I can't believe it. I can't help myself turning round again. Every single book, I can read them for the rest of my life. There, said the vicar. That's another mystery solved. What to do with the books? He smiled at me for a long time, until I smiled back. I said I couldn't carry the box all the way home, even with Matthew, because I had the twins. But Sally's mum said she could give us a lift home if Matthew sat in the back with the books. Matthew said that mum would be pissed off with me for getting more books because I was reading all the time. The vicar coughed and said he thought she would be very pleased. It was nice being in Sally's car, driving through the village, and people can see we are in the car with her. But I think Matthew might be right about mum. I feel a bit nervous when we park outside the gate. When we walked in the door, mum was cutting the onions to go on the toad in the hole. Dad was reading the paper. The boys had all run in front of us. I was with Sally, and then her mum caught up with us with the box really soon. So she was there before I could think what to do about it. My mum's gone quiet, and my dad pretends not to notice and carries on reading. He's checking the Littlewoods football. I pulled out a chair so that Sally's mum could put the box down and press down the flap so I could think of what to say next. "Hello, I'm Liz, Sally's mum. It's Hope, isn't it? I hope you don't mind. I've just bought these books round for April. Sally's finished them, and Mr. Fisher thought you wouldn't mind if April had them." It was funny to hear her voice in our house. Different sounds make you notice different things. Dad coughed behind the paper, and Mum stared down and chopped the onions into tiny, tiny squares. Everyone was looking at them, even the boys. Mum couldn't look at her properly. The boys were standing round the table. We don't usually have other people in the house, except the doctor. And then Liz said, "That's a really nice dish with beef." My mum just nodded. "We can't have beef yet. When mum gets a job, we can." That's what she said before. Anyway, I couldn't manage to eat them both together. Mum tried to stop staring so much and wiped her hands on her cardigan. "Would you like a drink, Liz?" "Oh, well," then Sally said, "can I help April take the books to her bedroom?" And then Liz said, "Yes, of course. A glass of water would be lovely, Hope." But my mum has already got the sherry off the sideboard and has opened the little glass cupboard to get the special glasses out. "It is Hope. You can call me Hope." Sally and I take each end of the box and move towards the stairs. "Out in the garden until dinner time, you lot. And Matthew, make sure the gate's closed." My mum looks across at me quickly as I back up the stairs. I can tell she doesn't want me to be long. As I go round the corner up the stairs, I can see my dad is pulling a face behind the paper. At least he's reading News of the World, and perhaps Sally's mum will realise that we are interested about the world. My mum is pouring herself another glass of sherry already. Better not be long, but she is being more friendly. Liz is telling her about the village fete. We're beginning to make friends with them, and maybe Sally will let me see her horse. When we get into my room, Sally looks round. I've only got my bed and the chest of drawers, and all my magic stones are on the top. It is clean because the council just painted it before we moved in. Sally said I need a bookcase now, but then I had an idea. I could put them on the drawers and put the stones along the top of the windowsill, and I could see the shape of them when I looked out of the window at night. It would look like I was on the moon. Sally made them into little piles like mountains. And then we lay on the bed and looked up at them against the blue sky. Sally said it looked like real mountains on Earth, because she's been on holiday where they have real mountains. Her auntie has got a house there where they go on holiday sometimes. She said she would bring me some proper mountain stones next time she went. We started taking out the books. She told me which ones were her favourites. I really like George because she is like me. I would like to be a boy and a detective. She said she's glad she's not a boy because then she'd have to go away to school like her brothers. I said I didn't think of that. She is helping me put them in the right order, and then we have an idea about putting the box on its side to make a bookcase on the drawers. I got my pens out and we made some patterns and labels that we stuck on so I would know which group to put them back in. The lid of the box was useful for doors, and then we had one each to draw a picture on. I made a picture of the garden from the window, and Sally drew a picture of her horse in the sunshine. I thought she was clever, because she made it look like he was waiting up the stable to get into my books. And then she asked me, "Did your dad really go to prison?" I went red, and I know she saw. She wasn't horrible. She carried on drawing. "My dad said it doesn't matter about someone's past. He's a lawyer. He said it's hard to make a fresh start. He thinks your dad is brave to live here. Anyway, I think you're nice. I'm glad that Mum didn't just throw the books in the dump. I'm glad you've got them." I felt so happy that I stroked her arm. She looked at me hard for a minute and moved to carry on drawing on the other side of the box. When we get downstairs, Dad isn't there. The paper is neatly creased and plonked by the side of his chair. He does that when he's had enough. I wonder if he said anything. My mum's telling Liz about her life. I know she's a bit merry. The toad in the hole is still on the table. Sally's mum turns round when she hears us and says, "Ah, Sally, it's time we were off, darling. Daddy will be wondering where we are." I can tell she wants to go. My mum is staring and smiling at Sally, but she is looking straight past her. "Did you girls have a nice time? Thank hope for having us, Sally. April must come round to us sometime." Sally says, "Thank you, Mrs. Smart." When they leave, I ask Mum if everything was all right. She gets up and walks to the stairs. "Yeah, everything's fine. She's got a fucking head up her ass. I could put her straight on a few things." I thought she might fall over, but she took her shoes off and went upstairs. I heard her fall on the bed. I put the onions on the pie and put it in the oven. I'm not sure what temperature it's supposed to be. I put the sherry back in the cupboard. My mum's glass was empty, and there was lipstick all round the top. Sally's mum's glass was clean, except for the sherry that was still inside. Oh.